Thank you so much for the beautiful music,
Brother Warren. It was really a blessing to all of us. Praise God what you are here today. I appreciate and God appreciate, first of all, God appreciate what you are here today because you came to worship God. You are such a talented church, and it's so nice to be with you here on a Sabbath morning. When we are uplifting our voices and opening our hearts toward the Word of God. You see, God calls you and each one of us to do something great in our lives. To do something great in our lives. But so often we are thinking, no, it's not for me. I will never achieve something great in my life. And you are trying to live the mediocre life, kind of the average. But in reality, just think about the Creator who created you, personally you, with a special reason and a good purpose. And He knows what He could do through you, with you, for the others, if you will simply open your heart to Jesus. Yeah, many of you will say, yes, I believe in Jesus. I already opened my heart to Jesus. I know Him personally. Great, praise the Lord. But maybe you're not 100% completely dedicated your life to Jesus. This is what we are going to talk today about, how we can really rededicate ourselves once again to Jesus through the prayer and our devotions. Would you like to experience a spiritual revival in your own life? And do you desire a renewed spiritual experience? Do you long for the spiritual revival in your church? Amen. This is what we all want. This is what we all would like to experience. But recently, we started actually in October 1 to read this book, 40 Days of Prayer. And I heard during the Sabbath school lesson what some of the people already mentioned about this book, what you are reading it, you are studying it. You have a great opportunity because this is what the Hawaii Conference provided for us for free. And now during this 40 days of prayer, we started in October 1, we will finish in November 9, we will continue to read this book. How many of you received this book actually? All of you. Some of you still wanting to have this book? Do you still have more of this in the church? Oh, you're out of them. Praise the Lord. I'm happy for you what you're out. We still have maybe a couple of them at the Hilo Church. Okay, maybe we can use them. And if you have a desire, you'll certainly ask your elder here and we will provide for you these books. So far, you have an opportunity to reach at least, according to this book, at least about one, two, or up to five people for whom you can pray about. I'm sure you can easily find five people in your life, for your relatives, for your friends, for your loved ones, for whom you can pray every single day. You see, because the prayer, actually, right in the beginning of the Advent movement, the pioneers, this is how they started our church. The Advent movement were great men and women of prayer, sometimes spending a good portion of the night in prayer. Describing her personal experience, Sister White is writing for us here. At our important meetings, these men, early Advent leaders, will meet together and search for truth as for hidden treasure. I met with them, and we studied and prayed earnestly, for we felt we must learn God's truth. Often we reminded together until late night, and something for the entire night, praying for light, and studying the Word. As we fasted and prayed, great power came upon us. This is what we need to do. But I recently heard a nice doctor, Dr. Nedley. He's a wonderful and great speaker, Dr. Nedley. He's always promoting a good idea. Early to bed, early to rise. Yes? Good. And absolutely right. But sometimes you need to spend on your knees, even late in the evening, or maybe throughout the night. And you will be more blessed if it's not often, once in a while, but it will be beneficial for you if we will spend the time on our knees in prayer. Sister White continues here, as she talked about the second coming of Christ. What second coming of Christ is imminent. And we as a Seventh-day Adventist, this is what we are proposing, this is what we are advertising to the world, what Jesus is coming back. Praise the Lord. But this is not the only one reason which we need to advertise, what Jesus is coming back. It's not the only one reason. Because we are planning to live with Jesus. We are planning to spend eternity with God in heaven. And already this heaven and the actual kingdom of God is already started here on this earth. This is what Jesus said. When he came here to this world and proposed to the disciples the good news, he said the kingdom of God is already here in this world. And the kingdom of God is starting in your heart and in the Pune church, and it's spreading around in the Pune area. The kingdom of God, which you are sharing with the others, is starting right here. And every Sabbath morning. Recently I was talking to an elder, and he told me, Pastor, it's been already for a long time what we are not fed enough on the Sabbath morning. And immediately kind of the bell ring in my mind. I said, wow, I'm talking to an elder here. And it's an elder and actually a very experienced elder. But he told me, we are not fed enough with the spiritual food on the Sabbath morning. But the bell ring in my mind, when I started to question myself, are we coming to receive food during the worship service, spiritual food? Or we are coming to the worship service to worship God and bring our reports and give him glory and honor for the whole week, how he blessed us, how he provided for us, how he really led us, and we are here right now. What are we doing here? We are worshiping God, not to be fed, but to praise him and to give, not to receive. This is why we are here for. We came here to pray, to uplift our voices, and to praise God for all his blessings. This is what Sister White is continuing sharing here in the Gospel Workers. She's saying, though much prayer is much labor for souls, for this is the only method by which you can reach hearts. It is not your work. I actually jumped out of my place and I read this. It's not your work. So many people are afraid to do this work and to reach the others. They're saying, how can I do this? How can I even open my mouth and share the Bible studies or do something? Because it's not even your work. What you need to do, just read here. It is not your work, but the work of Christ, who is by your side, that impresses hearts. What you need to do, it's simply to pray and to pray more. Please, let us look at the life of Jesus. As we will check the life of Jesus, we will see amazing illustrations from his life, how early in the morning he already risen a long while before daylight, and he went out and departed to the solitary place where he prayed. And I always wonder why for Jesus he needed to have a prayer. Jesus himself, he was God. He's God here on this earth. But he showed example to you and me how we really need to pray. It's quite interesting. As you will study the Bible more deeply, you will find out what every time before Jesus made any special decision, amazing decision, he always prayed, and so often throughout the whole night. Before he chose 12 disciples, did he pray? Yes, whole night. Before he fed 5,000 people, he prayed whole night. Before he made any special decision, he prayed and prayed and received the power from the Heavenly Father. If you would like to expand your territory right here at the Pune Church, and we are planning to extend our territory here and additionally build a building here, okay, great, we have a desire. We can do it, but not without the Lord. We need his guidance, his power, and his motivation for us in order for us to accomplish this goal. What do we need to do? Simply to pray more. And God will increase our desire to increase our building, to bring more people here, and open our church for 24/7, when this church will be working for this community throughout the whole week, where we will be available for the people, how we can reach them for the God's glory. It's nice what we are here right now on a Sabbath morning. It's great. But I'm sure what you're already doing a lot personally, individually. But as a church, we can do much more if we will simply entrust our lives into the hands of God. Okay, the next verse, I wanted to show to you from Luke chapter 5, verse 16. It says, He himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Prayer was not something Jesus did occasionally when a need or a problem arose. Prayer, it was the lifestyle of Jesus. If Jesus, the divine Son of God, needed time with his Father and to be in his presence, to be filled with the power from God, what do we really need to do? We need to schedule our time with the prayer. We need to schedule our time with the prayer. Because we are too busy. My dear beloved, we are too busy. There is sometimes not time, not enough time, should I say, when we are running early in the morning to school, to work, or doing some other business, no time for us to pray in a good portion, good time of prayer. Yes, I talked to some other beloved, and they're telling me, Pastor, oh, I'm praying all day. Great, good, good, it's nice. But while I'm walking, I'm praying. When I'm sitting, I'm praying. When I'm doing some business, I'm praying. It's good. But why not Jesus? He's not showing us an example when he's praying all day. But he went to the special location, the special place, and set a time apart and prayed right there. It's nice what you can think about God. You can pray in your mind. But it's not exactly the prayer when you're dedicating your time. When you have a pain in your somewhere in your body or so, you immediately make an appointment to the doctor. You are sitting right there in the counter. You're waiting for the doctor's appointment. You know this is your time, and now you're going to receive the treatment. Something is going to happen, and you will be better. Okay, what about your appointment with God, with our Creator, and with our Savior? Let's listen to the text here by Brother Tori. He is saying for us, we are too busy to pray. So we are too busy to have power. We have a great deal of activity, but we accomplish how much? Little. Many services and few conversions. Much machinery, but few results. Why? Because we are praying not enough. I'm using these quotes, actually, from these two books. Today I'm using the Bible and these two books. 40 Days of Prayer and Mark Finley, Revival, Revive Us Again. And I don't have sermon outline today because you will find all this information right in these books, all these quotes. You have this in your hands. That means it's available for you, this information. Let us review everything in our minds for the God's glory as we will continue to study the Word of God. From the book of Education, it says, many even in their sessions of devotions fell off receiving the blessings of the real communion with God. They are too great haste. This is the old English word, haste. With their hurried steps, they pressed through the circle of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps a moment within the sacred precincts, but not waiting for the counsel. They have no time to remain with the divine teacher. With their burdens, they return to their work. And what they are receiving as a result, it's quite strange what we don't have enough power. There is a power in prayer. As we will continue to pray, we will need to remember what we should keep connection with the Lord, because so often we are disconnected from the source of life. So often we are really disconnected from the source who is bringing for us so much assurance, so much authority. And he is telling you and me what he created us for the reason, for the purpose, and he wanted to use you in an amazing way if we will simply entrust our life to him. Celeste and me and to many other members here, a little clip, movie about the handicapped person who is preaching right now all over around the United States and all over around the world. Handicapped person. He was born crippled. And the doctors told his mommy, "What? He's not going to live. Don't even worry. Don't even bother him. Just deliver him to that facility place where all the handicapped people, let them care of him, and don't even spend your life bothering yourself with raising him up." But this individual, he actually taught himself how to read, how to write, accomplished their high school and went to the college, received degree over there, and now preaching all over around the world. Very, very handicapped. When I was watching that movie, it just simply impressed me. I said, yes, I'm always bothered and I'm confused with my accent because English is not my first language. I'm questioning myself. And I remember how I talked to my professor. He was from the Czechoslovakia, Duda. Duda, great professor. And I asked him, I said, what do you think? What we are here with an accent and so on. He said, don't worry. Moses, he was with an accent. He even had a hard time to talk. And even he questioned God himself, how God is going to use Moses. Look about the first apostle, Peter. He was talking with an accent. If the Peter was talking with an accent, don't worry about you. Just go forward. It means this is a minor. But the reality, think about yourself, what you have in your hands. You have your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet. You're absolutely not handicapped. You're ready to go. And sometimes you're complaining, saying, Lord, no, I'm not capable enough. It means you're trying to say to your Creator and to your God what He created you, not 100% good enough for you to share the good news to the others. Oh, my dear beloved, what a privilege we have to work with God and to enjoy the fellowship with Him. And here, a little quiz for you. Can you read what you have on the screen right now? It's so hard to read, maybe, yes? Yes, let me show you the answer here. Yes, the answer is right here. Then there is a little prayer, there is a little power. And see, you need simply read to from the top down. So often we are not looking up. So often we are only looking horizontally, man to man. But we simply need to raise our face and our eyes to the Lord and say, Lord, let me see and everything what is happening in my life from your perspective, from top down, from above down. When you will pray more, you will see what God, who created the whole entire universe, it's just amazing, in a huge, vast universe. And He knows you personally. He created you. He knows your heartbeat. He knows your fingerprints, your eye print. It's just amazing. He knows everything about you. And now you're questioning God and saying, no, I am not capable enough to do Bible study. Or I don't have time to talk to you, God. I don't have time for the prayer. But you see, as much as we'll spend more time with the prayer on our knees, you will be blessed and you will be blessed abundantly. You would like to experience a revival in your church? Do you desire a renewed spiritual experience personally in your family? Yes, I do. I really desire this experience. Do you long for a spiritual revival in your own church? Yes, my dear beloved, I'm sure what you have a wonderful church and you have quite a uplifting prayer meetings on Wednesday night. But what about our community? What about people around us here? How big is the Pahoa area? What about the population in Pahoa area? How many people live around here? Approximately? 5,000? 10? 15? I went to Google last night. I checked. 22,000. Keau, Pahoa area, all of this, 22,000. And in Hilo, and here it's just amazing. You see, the 40,000 for this area, Hilo and Pahoa area and Keau, 40,000. Altogether in a big island, I always considered maybe we have around less than 100. I don't know why, but in Google they're showing it's 160,000. 160,000 for the big island. It means it's pretty big. We have quite a population. We still have so many people with whom we need to work about. And according to what Sister White, how she was inspired, she was teaching you and me, well, this is not your business to even to be afraid how we can reach them personally, because it's not your business. Your business is on your knees when we will pray, and Lord will move by His Spirit and by His power. Let's move ahead. As we will see what the Bible is proposing for us here today, our main text for today, it's right in the middle of my sermon, right here. Chronicles 7:14. Easy to remember. Divide 14 and a half, you will receive 7. 7:14, Chronicles. And this is the second Chronicles. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land and heal their church and heal their property and heal their territory. All will be so blessed if we will learn how we can use God's principle for all of us. According to the Luke 11:13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How many of us are good enough over here, and we can consider us what we are not evil? It's hard to say, yeah? I question myself. I said, if I'm evil enough or good enough? And I admitted the fact that, yes, I'm sinful, very, very sinful. I said, Lord Jesus, what a privilege we have to read Isaiah 1:18, where you will find the promises from the Lord. I will wash you and make you whiter than snow. Just simply approach me. Let us have communion together. Okay, let us learn today four life-changing prayer principles. Simple, but right to the point. Set aside a specific time each day to be alone with God. Simple, but right to the point. Set aside. According to this proposal here, we have a model here, Acts. Model is helpful as guide to keep their minds focused during their devotional times. It means we simply need to remember, Acts stands for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Adoration. Adoration stands here what we begin our prayer with, the period of adoration and praising God. It's amazing when disciples approach Jesus and ask him, they said, Jesus, could you teach us how to pray? And Jesus showed them the prayer. We know this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right from the beginning, he is praising the name of God by praising. The positive attitude. If God himself, Jesus himself, is teaching us how we need to approach the Heavenly Father, our Creator, he is trying to teach you and me how we need to approach the same approach, the same attitude toward one another. This is what we read today in a Sabbath school lesson, John 13:35. Yes? It says right there, by all people in your community, they will know what you are, his disciples, because you have love among each other. Because you're loving each other. It means you're approaching each other on a level when you're praising each other. And you're praising, saying, oh, my dear brother, how love, I'm really love to see you today. I'm so glad, because you're praising each other and you're praising God. This is what we are learning, how we need to do with every single individual when we are teaching, when we are helping, when we are experiencing communication with one another. And especially when we are talking to our Heavenly Father, praise him first, because he created you. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, according to Psalm 50, verse 23. Confession. Ask God to humble your heart and reveal anything in your life not in harmony which will stand between you and God. These days of preparation were days of deep heart searching. This is what we have right now during these 40 days. The disciples felt their spiritual need and cried to the Lord for the holy unction that was to feed them for the work of soul saving. Disciples, they follow God, they enjoy this opportunity to completely surrender their lives to Jesus. Thanksgiving. Apostle Paul is proposing for us, according to the book of Ephesians 5:18-20. He's saying, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. And he's saying, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. How can you speak to one another when you will simply just sing songs and talk praisefully? It means he's talking about joyful attitude toward each other. When you will praise God and praise each other, because your relationship with each other will be quite different in comparison how people are working and talking right outside in the world. You see, my wife, she went to Russia almost 2 weeks ago. Because of her dad, my father-in-law got very sick, went into the hospital. we called, we decided, okay, this is an opportunity for my wife, still needs to go. And we prayed, Lord, if you'll provide for us an I ticket. It seems like it's happened, but United, they moved to Hilo right now. We used to be in the Kona side. Now pastor from Kona calling me, could I come to your place and leave my car over there? I need to fly to California. It's so amazing what we have opportunity right now. United's right in Hilo. Great. But in the same time, it gave the opportunity for my wife to fly directly to Russia. She went over there, and the first day when she called me back, and actually I called her through the Skype, and we were talking. She told me just amazing how those people in Russia could talk stories with the swear words for hours. She was driving in that electric bus, электричка we call it, electric train. And people are talking in Russian. She was not, she visited Russia right now in the last 10 years. Yeah, she never been to Russia. So we moved to the United States and it's already been 10 years. And it's the first time she went back. And she kind of felt, what is really happening with those people? They're using swear words all the time, everywhere, stores, public place, whatever. So sad, so bad, so depressing. But you see, it's so nice what we don't know English enough, good enough. This is what I've been told by the local people here too. You simply maybe don't know our words over here. And said, praise God, I don't even want to learn them. Yes, because you see, it's so nice for us to be thankful for everything what God is proposing for you and me. Just be filled with His Spirit, with the Spirit of the Lord. And supplication. Supplication, God is absolutely delighted when we come as a little children, depending on our Heavenly Father. Last night we had a Bible study in our house. And a young fellow, he came to our home and he was saying, oh, Pastor, you know, he was not a Seventh-day Adventist. And he said, Pastor, you know, my mom, she kind of taught me to pray. And she told me, right, a long time ago, if you prayed enough, it's enough for God. He knows your desire. Good enough. But now, as we studied the Bible together, I used the Luke chapter 18 about the woman. She came to the unfaithful judge, and she was begging and begging and begging. And at the same time, God used this as an illustration. He was saying, if he was an unfaithful judge and responded to her, what do you think about me? And I used that as illustration as we discussed. And this fellow, he asked me, he said, what do you think? It seems like we still need to beg God. We need to pray. We need to ask God. What do you think? How often do we need to repeat and ask God about our petitions and prayer requests? Once and it's enough? Or should we continue? You see, it depends what we are requesting. You see, I don't need to approach, for example, Brother Kevin here. And maybe let's try to imagine what maybe like 5 years ago we had a story or accident between us. And in the last 5 years, I'm always approaching him saying, Brother Kevin, please forgive me. Let me share with you what I have to talk to you about. And again, the next time I'll approach him, please, could you forgive me? And again, I will start to talk with him about. You see, I'm not asking God about forgiveness all the time when I'm praying to the Lord. I know we need to ask, but as already God forgave you, you dedicated your life completely. You don't need to ask and beg God all the time about forgiveness. It means you are not exactly honoring God by questioning His forgiveness for you personally. He forgave you a long time ago. But right now He's told you, go and sin no more and be faithful to God. But you know, if you again sin, just please ask for forgiveness. Do it diligently. But in the same time, if you have a petitions or request for your relatives, my father-in-law, he's not a Seventh-day Adventist. We've been praying for him for a long time. And I will continue to pray for him, and my wife will pray for him until that day when the Lord will convince his heart and he will be not a Seventh-day Adventist, but he will be a believer in the God Almighty. What about you? Do you have your relatives? As we will continue to pray and pray for them diligently until that moment and day when the Lord will save them. This is what we need to do. And as we prayed and I talked to this individual, he told me, yeah, it's kind of makes sense. But for some of the things we need to repeat and repeat and repeat again. Because we need to know what as more as we spend with God more time, the more time we will long to spend in His presence. I had an elders meeting last Sabbath after the church. in the other church. And actually, and I shared with the elders, as long as you will read more Bible, you will have desire to pray more. As more as you will pray more, you'll have desire to read more Bible. I said, wow, I never thought this way. You're right, he said. It's amazing. As long as we will spend more time with the God's love letter, we'll have desire to pray more, because we will be longing for that communication with our Heavenly Father. Four life-changing prayer principles. Adoration, confessions, thanksgiving, it's supplication. This is what we look at. The first step here, acts. Okay, let's move forward. Second, read the Bible prayerfully, allowing the Holy Spirit to impress your mind. Read your Bible prayerfully. How often do we read our Bibles? There is no excuse anymore in our days, because so many of you have your Bibles in your cell phones, in your iPads, iPhones, whatever, just name it. And you have your Bibles always with you. We always with the Bible in our days. And if we will say, oh, there is no time for us to read the Bible, I'm not talking about while you're driving in the car and simply listening. This is what I'm using quite often too, because I really would like to be more with the Bible and learn more. But sometimes we really need to sit down and really read the Bible prayerfully and diligently. And you will be amazed how God will bless you as we will read the Bible. You will find a little bit more than usual, because you see, the more you pray, the more you will hunger for the God's words. Because prayer and the Bible study are the twins, they are interconnected, prayer and the Bible study. This is actually, the Bible study is the heart, for us and for our salvation. Okay, here we have a few principles and suggestions. Take one of the psalm at a time, read a few verses. Ask what God is saying to you in these verses. Speak to Him in prayer about what the Holy Spirit impresses you. And as you pray through the psalms, you will hear God's voice speaking to you into your own heart as He spoke to the psalmist. As you will do it diligently, you will be amazed. What about the sins of Christ? The last sins of Christ right here, we can see in Psalm 52, for example. You remember when Jesus, when He was dying on the old rugged cross, He used the words from Psalms. Yes, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is how the Psalm 22 starts. He's just paraphrasing. He was just used that. It was not even His own words. He was just used it from the Old Testament. Because He was so united with the Bible. He was so united with the Bible, with the Word of God. As you will look at this, all these chapters, Isaiah 53, Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, and John 19, all of them, they are talking about the last moment of Jesus when he was dying, when He died for you and for me on the old rugged cross. And Sister White is suggesting to us, if we will visualize that in our mind and use these things to review again in our mind what Christ Himself personally did for me and what He did really for me with a special reason and purpose. The God of the universe came on this dark world, sinful world, and died for the young people, died for the old people, for the pagans, for the howlies, for the all strangers. He died for all of us with a special reason and purpose, because He wants to continue communication with us. He wants to save us, revive us, and experience joy throughout the whole eternity. Oh, if we will continue to pray with the psalmist, revive me according to your word. Revive me, O Lord. Take the Bible on your knees, please, and read from the Bible. Plead with God, enlighten of your mind. And if we will study the Bible diligently and prayfully every day, we should every day see some beautiful truth in a new, clear, and forcible light. What an important things we are learning this morning. Life-changing prayer principles could be only as we will pray diligently and have a time with God, read the Bible prayerfully and have a time to read the Bible. And now we are moving forward and we will learn to pray aloud. Learn to pray aloud. Along with this, I wanted to share with you my personal experience. Not only learn how to pray aloud, but learn how to read the Bible aloud as well. Remember, I was in the military service, and in Russia over there, it's a drafting system. It's not by your desire. You want to go or not, it's just up to the government, not up to you. Okay, as in the age of 18 for the 20, this is the time when they would like to use you as a teenager with all your enthusiasm, and they will use that all your energy for their purpose and their reason. But at least so far, while I was in the military, and arrived to the base, I told to the main officer, "But I'm a Seventh-day Adventist and I would like to keep my Sabbath." "What are you talking about? You're in the military. Forget about your God and everything what you have in your mind. What your parents put it you over there." "Oh, they said, yeah, but anyway, they discovered what I have a little small Bible, New Testament, like a Gideon's one, small one, but it was only in Russian. Okay, they immediately took it out from me. Okay, and in my next letter I wrote to my mom, "Mom, I don't have a Bible anymore." Said, "Okay, don't worry, my son." And in the next parsonage, little small little package I received very soon. It was a little bread. And right in that bread, I had my little Bible. But the officers, they were smart enough. Because all those packages you're receiving and opening in their presence. And I opened and said, "Okay, bread, you don't have enough food over here? Something is strange over here." He immediately brought the bread. And a little Bible right inside there, the little New Testament. Okay, he took it out, said, "Oh, you still," and I plead with him. I said, "I really need to read my Bible. I really need my spiritual food." I said, "Okay, if you would like to read it, okay. You told me about your Sabbath." "Yes, yes, you told me." "Okay, you can come to me in my office, and then only on the Sabbath, you will just read your Bible." I said, "Okay, fine." I came on Sabbath morning, knocked at his door over there at his office, and I enter in, okay, with permission, with all this, whatever is necessary to do as a soldier, and he gave me my little Bible. "Okay, just read it." Okay, I sat in the corner over there, and I started to read aloud. "Shut up, what are you talking about?" No, I started to read more and more because it's a Bible. But I told him, "You see, my mom taught me what the Word of God should be read only aloud." Oh, he was complaining, but he was listening. For 6 Sabbaths in a row, he was allowed for me to read the Bible aloud. And after that, he gave me the Bible and said, "Go way out of here." But at least he was listening to me for these 6 Sabbaths. And as I was reading from the New Testament, as you will learn how to read aloud and pray aloud, you will see how God will bless you. The loud prayer, this is what Jesus did. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Luke 11:1. As Jesus prayed, you see, disciples heard him. They heard his voice and his words. I remember what in John 17 we have in our Bibles. Yes, John 17, the whole longest prayer in the Bible. It's a prayer of Jesus, John 17. And how do we have this in the Bible? Because Jesus prayed aloud. Disciples, they heard this prayer, and John recorded it later on because they had enough memory in those days to record all these things. And they said they were inspired by God. He had no doubt what the Holy Spirit reminded them, but they were listening to the prayer of Jesus. And even right here, according to the Matthew 26, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And while Jesus was on the old rugged cross dying for you and me, he prayed again. Why he didn't pray, Lord, it is finished. Oh, Lord, right now it's just, they have no idea what they are doing. Why he could have kept those words to himself silently? Why he shared everything aloud? My dear beloved, as you will learn how to pray aloud, you will be blessed much more. Recently, one of the sisters approached me and said, "Pastor, you know, I'm afraid to pray aloud. I'm really afraid." I said, "Why?" Because she said, "I'm afraid if I will pray aloud, at least maybe Satan is going to listen to me. And he will know everything what I am praying about." But here's what the Paul is saying. "Offered us prayer and supplication with a vehement cries." What it says over here? I use the new translation over here. New IV. And new IV is quite clear, saying loud cries. loud cries. According to the Hebrew 5:7 says, offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Pray aloud. And here was Sister, learn to pray aloud and God only can hear you. This is what Sister White is saying. And here's one more from the testimonies. We need not fear what somehow Satan is listening to our prayers. We should not fear. It's right clear over here. Knows what we are praying, and we are preparing some strategy to deceive us. What we are assured that at the sound of a fervent prayer, Satan's whole host, what is happening to the Satan's whole host? Trembles, yes. And God answered our petitions by sending legions of angels, causing Satan's host to fall back. What a privilege we have. So often we have no idea how much power God gave into thy hands, into our hands, with the prayer. If we will continue to pray, we'll be blessed in an amazing way. For life-changing prayer principles, learn to pray aloud, please. And the fourth one, the final one for tonight, for today, organize a small prayer group of 3 or 5 people and covenant to meet together at least once a week for the prayer. Please open your homes, open your hearts, as you will continue to pray for the God's glory. According to Matthew 18, it says, again I say to you, what if two of you agree on earth concerning anything what they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name. Does it say one gathered in my name? Two or three are gathered in my name. And I am in the midst of them. It's amazing what we have in our hands as we will continue to pray. And here's the advice from the Sister White. The promise is made on the condition if we unite prayers of God's people are offered. And in answer to these prayers, there may be expected a greater power than the which comes in answer to the private prayer. The power given will be proportionate to the unity of the members and their love for God and for one another. My dear beloved, this is what we really need to experience in our church, in our churches. Why not to begin our prayer bands right in our homes, where we can start our small little groups, Bible study groups, prayer groups, where we simply pray and talk to the people and say, Lord, use my home, use my mind, use the abilities. And so often you don't need even to do Bible studies by yourself. Those people who are coming already, they will do everything. Honestly, this is what I'm doing in my home. I'm not leading Bible studies on Friday night quite often. I'm simply opening my home and saying, come on, let's go. And then we have a nice potluck before. People are fed good, nicely, and after that they're joyful to do Bible studies. And everything is so amazing because this is the beginning of the Sabbath. How are we beginning the Sabbath? You see, a praying father or a praying mother can make an incredible difference in the lives of their children. And now it's time for us, as maybe we will prayfully think about what can we do as a father and mother? What can we do as we will pray and pray more diligently? And now it's the time for us, as we will have a little music here, we would like to see what a praying husband or wife can make an amazing difference in their marriage. You will need more less counseling sessions, and you will have amazing differences in your marriage. Praying church members, or even I like this particular slide, praying church members can make a huge difference in their church. Praying groups make a difference in their community. Praying students can change the atmosphere in their school. So often you're thinking, okay, you're attending the public school, you're attending public university, and you will not make any impact maybe on them. Not at all. Simply begin to pray, and you will see what God will do through you. Praying children. Oh yes, praying children can change the situation in their home and make an impact in the whole entire world. Yes, this is what we can see from this whole entire study. The legacy of prayer, giants such as Moses, Joseph, Daniel, demonstrate what the praying people change the course of history. The praying people change the course of history. Do you want to plant the seed of the revival in your church? Start from your own heart. Ask God if He will research your heart, wash away your sins, and you will be the first one who will open your house, who will open your heart, who will open the relationship with the others, and you will simply be a blessing to the others. Bathe your life in prayer. God knows for what reason He created us. You see, we never made to live an average kind of mediocre life. We were created to leave our mark on this generation. You are not here by accident this morning. Before you were born, God knew you. He has a plans for you. In all these days, He is planning to do something big through you. But so often you're questioning God when you're saying, I'm not good enough. It's not all about you. It's about God and His power. Open your heart and lift up your voices. Pray aloud, and may the Lord richly bless you and all of us. As we will sing right now this closing song, I would like for you to pay attention to the closing words. The Savior is waiting. It's a number 289.